with this celebration today, honoring Palm Sunday, we begin a full week of closely following Jesus' welcome as King of Kings into the city of Jerusalem, and the last meeting that he would have with his disciples, his giving final instructions and teachings, the betrayals and the abandonments, the tears and the false accusations and the humiliation, the agony, the execution, and the death and burial. Over the next 6 days, we are lifting this up as a very sacred time. And so we hold up in our Episcopal Church, we take a lot of care over the details of these events during Holy Week. But today we compress it all into one service, and really in just these short readings that we've had this morning, the whole story in a compressed form of all that contains the end of Jesus' human ministry. Jesus had been loved and honored and sought after, and he'd been followed. And he even got some of his disciples to finally start to figure out who he was, especially Peter, James, and John. They began to get it. Why would Jesus not stay under the radar of the powerful occupying Roman government? Couldn't he just lay low? Could he just stay out of sight from those paranoid temple leaders who were out to get him? And this idea of staying under the radar, of laying low, is something we're all familiar with. We know how to do that, how to keep ourselves quiet enough that we can go unnoticed by people that we don't want to notice us. I sure remember that as a parent with my two daughters when they were little girls. And they knew how to stay out of trouble. Or probably a more accurate thing to say is they knew what to do so that they could get in trouble, but maybe not get noticed that they got in trouble. And my older daughter, Candace, was probably the better of the two at that, because she had a knack of just totally irritating her younger sister, Lori. And she would get Lori so upset that Lori would start yelling at her and saying bad things. And when I heard that angry yelling, I'd walk into the room and I'd say, "Lori, stop acting like that." And she'd say, but Dad. And I said, "Never mind. Be a lady." So she knew from a pretty early age how to fly under the radar. It took years. I mean, she was probably in her late 20s before I found out what was really happening. That she had put her sister up to all this. And there are ways all of us experience this. Another example that I just think about so often when I'm on the roads is to see, at least in the right-hand lane, maybe the middle lane, we're pretty close to 55 or 60 miles an hour, and there'll be a highway patrol car going 55, and even if you're going 50, you'll slow down. There's something about knowing that that's highway patrol. We want to be under the radar, literally the radar, I guess. Or when we are in a group of people and the topic comes up that there needs to be a volunteer to do some job, and all of us have a way of looking really busy, like they shouldn't ask us because we sure don't have the time, and make sure we don't make eye contact with anybody else. So we all know how to do that. And so if we knew how to do it, I'm sure Jesus knew too. He knew human nature, and he knew that there would be ways that he could overcome the outcome of Holy Week. He could overcome the outcome of this week in Jerusalem. But that is not what he chose to do. It was very clearly his choice. The Christian author Joan Chittister wrote about this topic in this sentence. "These final days of Holy Week confirm that there are some things worth living for, even if we find ourselves having to die for them as well." So it brings up this point of having things so important that nothing should stand in the way of accomplishing them. Maybe it's our family or principles that give us meaning for life? Defending somebody who we see as being wronged and doesn't have the ability to defend themselves? What is it that motivates your life? What is it that makes your life worth living? What is it that's so important to you that you would give your life to protect it and to make sure that it always stays as the top priority in your life? Jesus had reached the point in his work on earth that he knew that he had to stand tall. He needed to be known, be visible. He needed to take this step, and it was for a reason so great that it made any hardship worth it. He had come to Jerusalem at a nation that was getting ready to celebrate the Passover, and that's a very important part of this story for us to recognize. This was about the Jewish Passover, which is the ceremony that celebrates the slaves of Egypt being given the means to escape their captivity under Pharaoh and to begin a new life. They didn't have to die. It was a way for them to die from an old life and to take on a new life as the people of God. Jesus had put every detail in place for his own Passover, just as Israel had experienced a Passover escaping Egypt. He had his own Passover that he needed to pass through in his own life. He had to play it out. And he did it in order to provide you and me with our own Passover. So as Israel had a Passover, as Jesus had his Passover out of his human life into his life back with God the Father, you and I have our Passover that doesn't involve death. We Christians are in the process of passing from the end of one kind of life that's centered on things and on values and on attitudes of this world to a life, a new kind of life that's centered on the reign of God in our life. Is that the most important thing? Jesus taught that life as we know it was not the reason we were born. This life is not the ultimate purpose of yours and my existence. There's more to it. This is a stopover on the way to the new way of thinking and of living. And getting there takes commitment on our part. It takes a decision. It takes a willingness to do whatever is necessary in order to take it on. Jesus took up his cross in order to move into his new life. And that new life enabled his spirit to be set loose in the whole world and to work through each of us because his spirit lives in us now. He took up his cross so that we could see the importance of taking up our own cross in our life, because those crosses need to be claimed and they need to be owned by us so that we can model and spread God's reign. God's reign into families who desperately need God to be present in their home. God's reign in neighborhoods that need God's presence in those neighborhoods. God's reign in this nation. God's reign in the world that desperately need God to be there. You know, we'll see on television probably later today the large wooden crosses that are marched through streets around the world to commemorate Palm Sunday. And then there are also the little palms that we carry and the little folded crosses that we blessed and handed out today. And in the same way, there are these big crosses and little crosses. There are big crosses we need to carry and small crosses we need to carry. The small ones are like sharing our time or our money with someone when we barely have enough but know it's the right thing to do, or resolving an argument just because we want it resolved, not because we need to win, but we want it resolved. Jesus knew that for him to fully live out the message that he was sent here to deliver, he had to step up. He had to get detected by radar. He needed to be in full view. He was ready to die because the message was so important. It was important for us to hear, and to make it our own. I want to close with a prayer that was written by Saint Bonaventure. This was written in the mid-1200s. O Lord, Holy Father, show us what kind of man it is who is hanging for our sakes on the cross, whose suffering causes the rocks themselves to crack and crumble with compassion, whose death brings the dead back to life. Let my heart crack and crumble at the sight of him. Let my soul break apart with compassion for his suffering. Let it be shattered with grief at my sins for which he dies. And finally, let it be softened with devoted love for him. Amen.